We do have a responsive reading today, and we want to talk about the real meaning of Christmas. We may enlarge on this a little bit in the next week or two, but we can let this just be another regular Christmas where we decorate and eat a lot and all that, and then go back to our old ways right after and worry about the economy again and everything that's going on, or we can grasp the real meaning of Christmas and live in the reality of it all day long. So this is kind of what the Lord has put in my heart. I mean, Christmas isn't just something we celebrate for cultural reasons. Christmas really makes a difference in the lives of the people who really understand it. So may the Lord help us to understand the not just the events of that first Christmas themselves, but their implications for the world, for us, and for the future. So shall we stand together? The responsive reading is on the gray sheet. We will not have our projector for the next few weeks. So if you want to take notes today, for example, you'll have to actually listen in order to be able to fill in the blanks. I'll read what's in the light print, ask you to read what's in the dark print, and I'll join you on that final verse. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for the meaning of the coming of Your Son, and that His first coming marked the beginning of the end, the mark of the beginning of the end of all of these struggles and trials and disappointments and things that we go through down here, and all of the conflict and everything in the world, and all the sin and all that we live with day after day. And we thank You that for those who have embraced Your Son and who know why He came and who He is and what He is yet to do, we live in the constant hope of that. We live our lives in the context of that, and we are not moved by the things going on around us today or tomorrow or any other time. Lord, our anchor holds sure in the sure knowledge of that which is eternal and unchangeable and unalterable. And it is the reality that You have brought to light through Your Son. In Him, all of Your future plans are fulfilled. And in Him, we have peace, hope, comfort, and assurance today to deal with whatever comes our way. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the knowledge of Your Word. Impress it deeply in our hearts this Christmas season above all others. We ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I almost didn't even do an insert because this is the kind of stuff I like to share in rapid succession. But just as I was looking around and just seeing how, you know, messed up everything seems to be and how hopeless everything seems to be for a lot of people, and the news just keeps getting worse and worse on the economy and on so many other things, and terrorist attacks around the world and so many things that are going on, and just the uncertainty of the future. And I'm one of those who agree that probably things are going to get worse before they get better. And I'm thinking probably to speak on some of those topics after the first of the year. But there's Christmas. And what is Christmas but the announcement of the coming of God's Son, the coming of the Deliverer, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the One that God promised in order to undo the very kinds of things that we're living the reality of right now. In America, we've been so blessed. We don't know how the rest of the world lives, and we're so in the moment that we don't, you know, even though we know some of it mentally, we shut out of our minds how much conflict there's been in the world in times past, and how people have suffered, and how there have been famines and earthquakes and pestilences and so many things, and we've been spared all that up until now. But any trials we're going through right now are mild compared to what many others have gone through before us and what many others are going through right now in other parts of the world. In India, right now in Orissa province, about 5,000 Christians are displaced. And I think over 100 churches have been burned, and many of them have lost their homes and lost everything that they have. And I doubt if any of us here today can say that. Nonetheless, it is a true concern. And these things do weigh on us, and if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in the fear and in the all of that, and in the depression and in all of that that the world is subject to. And the Lord does not want us to live that way, because He has provided victory for us in the person of His Son. And that's what Christmas is. It is the coming of His Son. We can talk about the angels. We can talk about the shepherds. We can talk about the wise men. We can talk about the gold and the myrrh and the frankincense. We can talk about the stable. We can talk about whatever we want to talk about. But what we're talking about is the coming of the Deliverer. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And He came to make a difference in our lives right now. Things were not good in the land of Israel at the time of His coming. We could spend some time on that. They were under Roman occupation. The average income was about a penny a day, and on and on and on. There was think of how Jesus ministered to the poor and downtrodden and how the crowds flocked to Him. And they weren't flocking to Him because He was giving them money. He didn't have any money. But He did speak the Word of God to them, and He did heal their sicknesses and their diseases, and He did forgive them their sins and get their lives put back together, and that's why He came. So things weren't good then. But the message is, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. Christ is the Messiah. The Messiah, the Lord. He has been born. And that means deliverance is here. So if you're one of those who likes to fill in the blanks, now would be the time, but you better be ready to write fast. What does Christmas mean? Well, first of all, it means the Deliverer is here. Israel had suffered oppression many, many times down through their history, and it wasn't that long ago they had come back from 70 years of exile in Babylon, and they knew what it was to be oppressed, and right then they were under the oppression of the Romans, and they were looking for a Deliverer, and Jesus, the angel says to Joseph in the dream, he says, don't fear to take Mary as your wife, because what's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she's going to bear a son, and you're to name him Jesus, Savior, because he will save his people from their sins. And that is the deliverance that Jesus came to bring. And any other deliverance we experience is because of that deliverance. But that is the first deliverance. Until we're delivered from our sins, we're not ready to be delivered in any other area of our lives. We used to preach that at the drug rehab center down called Shiloh Mission down in Puerto Rico. We'd say, unless you're born again, unless you're set free, unless you're delivered from sin, all you are is a sinner who's been delivered from one particular, you're free of one particular addiction. But you're still a sinner, and you're still on your way to a Christless eternity. And so he's the Deliverer. And the birth of Jesus means that the Deliverer is here. Because the Deliverer is here, number two, sin is conquered. It was the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, and the sin in all of Adam's descendants that made a Savior necessary in the first place, and why we begin to find the first promises and the first hints of a coming Messiah as early as chapter 3 of Genesis. And all the pictures of the shed blood and the sacrifices of the Old Testament. That sin had to be dealt with and sin had to be conquered. And the only thing those sacrifices could do was teach the people that the wages of sin is death, and that when there's sin, someone must die. And unless you have an innocent substitute to take your place, you're going to die forever. But those sacrifices couldn't really cleanse from sin, because only the coming Deliverer could do that, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So Christmas means the deliverer is here. It means sin is conquered because he's the only one who could conquer sin by offering his life on the cross. The sinless, perfect sacrifice satisfying all of God's requirements and demands on the cross. And that is how sin is conquered. You couldn't conquer sin. I couldn't conquer sin. Jesus had to conquer sin for us, both in his own life first, so he could be our sacrifice, and then conquer it for us by taking our place on the cross. Number three, death is defeated. The Word of God says the wages of sin is death. You notice it says is, current, present, continuing tense. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, also current, continuous, present tense, is what? Eternal life through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. Who is that? The one born in the stable on Christmas Day. Death is defeated. The wage of sin is death. The Bible says that sin came in by man, and through sin, death. It was death that God warned Adam about when he said, do not eat of that particular tree and of its fruit, because in the day that you eat of it, you will die. Death, it says in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, is the last enemy that will be defeated. Meaning it's already been defeated, but meaning coming into its ultimate defeat when all of us share the resurrection life and the resurrection power of the resurrected Christ. Hallelujah. So death is defeated. Number four, and this is for us who know the Lord as our Savior. Christmas means I'm a new creature in Christ, a new creation in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Nobody can say, I'm a new creature, unless they are in Jesus Christ. And all those who are in Christ, you are a new creature. You're a new creation in him already by virtue of your faith in him. And he's going to keep working in your life to rid your life of the things that don't please him and to bring you more into conformity to the image of Christ. But you are already a new creature. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The writer of Ecclesiastes said, there's no new thing under the sun. There is no thing that is now that has not been before. And that was true when he wrote it. But there is something new now. The only truly new thing is a born-again believer. Because at that moment, the old really is passed away, and everything does really become new. So Christmas means I'm a new creature in Christ. Number five, it means by extension, I'm loved, accepted, and forgiven. Read Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 10. I am accepted in the Beloved. I have been given forgiveness of all of my sins because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of the babe in the manger. So Christmas means the coming of the Deliverer means sin is conquered, death is defeated, I'm a new creature in Christ, I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm forgiven. Psychologists tell us we all want to be loved and we all want to be accepted. And a lot of the money that's paid to psychologists and psychiatrists is because of rejection, and we go over there to talk about how we've been rejected in life. Well, let me tell you something. If you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're accepted, fully accepted, totally accepted, and if you're accepted there, it doesn't really matter where else you're accepted. Amen. And forgiven. And that's something the psychiatrist can't do for you. In fact, he'll probably tell you, hey, get rid of that guilt. You haven't done anything wrong. That's not what the Bible says. It's better to be forgiven than pretend I haven't sinned. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Number six. Oh, I love this one. Now, this is Southern talk from when I was growing up. But Christmas means I'm on my way to glory. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the hope that kept Paul going from city after city after city, jailings, tortures, stonings, you name it, beatings. This is what he is on his way to glory. And along the way, he's going to tell everybody about Jesus that he can. But he's on his way to glory. We'll be reading about that in a little bit. I'm a child of the King, number 7. Christmas means I'm a child of the King. I have been given rights, Romans 8, verses 12 through 17. I'm a child of the King. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you understand what that means? It means that everything that belongs to Jesus, he's sharing it with me. Praise the Lord. How can I be dejected when I know that's a reality? 8. This is an extension of 7. Christmas means everything is mine in Christ. Everything I need, all the wealth of heaven, all the power of heaven for whatever God needs to do in my life, it's mine in Christ. Number 9, Christmas means I'm sealed with the Spirit, because that's what God promised. Once we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit's been poured out and is given to every believer. Every single believer gets the Holy Spirit to be your personal trainer, your personal advisor, your personal guide, your personal strengthener, your personal enlightener, so you can understand the Word of God, so that you can understand what is yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus hadn't come, that wouldn't be true. So Christmas means I'm sealed with the Spirit. Number 10. Christmas means I'm foreknown, chosen, called, justified, and on my way to being glorified. Now, justified means declared righteous, made righteous, counted as righteous in the sight of God. I have already been justified, and I am now on my way to being glorified. Number 11, and this is from Romans 8 where we read, Christmas means I cannot be defeated. I am more than a conqueror. In every circumstance and situation of life, through Christ my Redeemer, Savior, and Lord. I cannot be defeated. I am more than a conqueror. In every circumstance and situation of life, through Christ my Redeemer. Now that's the key. Through Christ my Redeemer. I may lose my job, but I am more than a conqueror. I may go weeks on end without being able to find another job. I am not defeated. I am more than a conqueror in the Lord Jesus Christ. Outer circumstances do not dictate whether I am a conqueror or not. I am more than a conqueror in every single circumstance of life. And that's what Christmas means. It means Jesus has come. We know that in all things God works together for good to those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. So if you love Him and you've been called according to His purpose, He's working everything, good and bad, for the ultimate good. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. So He preordained me, He predestined me to be His child according to His foreknowledge. I can't explain all that, but I read it and I accept it. He foreknew me, and therefore He predestined me that I may be conformed to the likeness of His Son, and that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. So He called me to Himself. He called me to salvation. And those He called, He also justified. And on the day I came to know Jesus as Savior, that day I became righteous. I became declared righteous in the sight of God. And those He justified, He also glorified. We're actually going to sit in heavenly places. We're actually going to have a glorified body just like Jesus has. And we're going to share in His glory. And those that He called, He justified. And He it's already stated as past tense. He glorified. Now, it says in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say in response to this? Since we know these things to be true, Since we know these things to be reality, what is our response? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then he starts listing stuff. But who can be against us? And the answer is nobody. He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So that is what that consists in. God is for me means that since he sent Jesus to be my Savior, my Lord, and my Deliverer, he therefore brought me into his kingdom. He therefore brought me into fellowship with himself. He therefore gave me eternal life. He therefore gave me everything that I need to overcome. That, it is in that that it consists that God is for me. He's not for me because I'm from Chesapeake. He's not for me because I'm the son of Luke and Gladys Eby. He's not for me because I speak English and I'm a citizen of the United States. He's for me in that he sent his son to be my deliverer and to provide me everything that I need for the future, for the present, both short and long term. So long term, I've got my home in heaven. Long term, I've got eternal life. Long term, I've got all that. But I've also got the indwelling of His Holy Spirit today. I've got His Word to lead me and guide me. I've got everything I need to cope in the middle of the most difficult circumstances. Praise the Lord. And when I say I mean I'm saying I like Mr. Average Christian on the street. Anybody that has put their full faith and trust in the one who came and was born in that stable. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. If he says, I'm righteous, I'm righteous. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So not only that, but I've got somebody at the right hand of the Father right now interceding directly for me. So how powerful is that? And then he gets into who shall separate us from the love of Christ. Now, Paul had been through his share of these things. They sound pretty extreme, but he had been through most, if not all, or almost all of them. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. He had been through all those. I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as we celebrate Christmas this season, and as we consider the meaning of Christmas, I'm just sort of the bottom line type of guy. And Christmas has a whole lot more implications than just a pretty little baby in a manger. Yes, that has its, he's God incarnate. He's the sinless Son of God. But if we take this thing to its conclusion, then that's what Christmas means. And so years later, Paul is able to write this. And I love this passage. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Listen to this. And listen to this in the light of 2008 and 2009. We are hard pressed on every side. Does that describe anybody? We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. The more that I go through in a way, the more his light can shine through me. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised Jesus, the Lord Jesus, from the dead, will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Now, listen to Paul's conclusion. Therefore, remember that word? In the light of these truths, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so at Christmas, the most marvelous thing happened that has ever happened in the history of the world. And indeed, like I say, the beginning of the end was declared. The end of sin, the end of sickness, the end of death, the end of sorrow, the end of separation, the end of all of those things that we hate so much in life. The beginning of the end of those were announced with the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem. And that is why the angels were so joyous. That is why the angels were singing and saying what? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill on men upon whom God's favor rests. And that's why all this joy and all this jubilee. So let me tell you something. Whatever may be happening around us, we've got a lot to celebrate this Christmas. And we've got a lot to give the Lord thanks for. And may we live in the light of that. Not only this Christmas, but then right on through this coming year. I don't know what this coming year holds so far as events or individual situations or any of that, but I sure do know who is faithful and who will keep us and who's already bought us and redeemed us unto himself. And that's what we're to commemorate here today, the communion, the shed blood of Jesus, which he shed for our sins, his broken body, where he took upon himself our diseases, our sicknesses, our sorrows, our sufferings, all of that. He took it all upon himself so that we could be completely free. And hey, that's the message we need to be delivering to the world too. That's the message, because that's the reality. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for loving us so much. And Lord, the lights are mighty pretty. But the prettiest light of all is that light you've put in us of the Lord Jesus Christ, shining in our hearts and revealing to us the glorious truth of an eternity free from sin, free from bondage, free from all of the things that we face down here, and in the full glory of you, as Jason Marshall was sharing with us last week, with no curse, with the curse totally removed and totally gone, and nothing to interfere in our enjoyment of you and of your presence. But Lord, we already do, through faith in you, through our daily devotion to you, we already experience your reality in our lives and your joy. And may that joy be with us through the coming days. As we partake of this communion, let us rejoice in the fact that every sin is cleansed. Every blot is removed, Lord. Every sin stain is taken away. And we stand fully justified in your sight. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During the hymn, if you have something on your heart, whether it be to receive the Lord as Savior or any other issue, feel free to come and share that. And then right after that, we'll be taking communion together.